Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to All About Entrepreneurs. Well, we're excited that you decided to tune in to the show today. Heard every weekday morning at 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Well, we want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out, get ready to take lots of notes, get ready to go to another level in your life. Because it's all about entrepreneurs. We have exciting guests who will come and teach you the strategies, the tips, and the tools for you to be a successful entrepreneur. Well, we hope that you enjoy the show. And don't forget, invite a friend. The show is going to be awesome. And now, your host, Coach LaLisa J. Williams.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome, 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 and welcome to the Tuesday morning co-host, Professor Terry Benjamin. Good morning, Terry. Good morning, okay, good morning. There you go, good morning, Terry. Okay, I'll say it one more time for the charm. Good morning, Professor Terry, about to call you Terry Williams. Good morning, Terry Benjamin.
Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Morning.
How you doing?
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing good, really good. You know, again, another day of life is always a good start.
Awesome, awesome. I know it's, somehow it feels like a Monday morning here. Well, welcome to each and every one of you. Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to another radio broadcast right here on Blog Talk Radio. Now, remember, if you want to call into the broadcast, the number is 347-945-7991. The time does go quick, but we do take calls, so get ready for that. Now, Professor Terry, this topic that you have today, I'm going to turn it right over to you because I want you to have all the time you can in remembering Whitney Houston, because I didn't get a chance to see the special with her mother, but I would definitely love to hear more about some of the details of her life. So I'm going to turn it over to you to introduce the topic and to share with us what you have on this topic.
Thank you so much, Lisa. Again, I want to say again, good morning to you, and also good morning to listeners. And one of the great things about talk radio and show that you're doing right here, we get a chance to really talk about things that are very current and things right now. Now, this book that I'm getting ready to discuss is entitled Remembering Whitney, My Story of Love, Loss, and the Night the Music Stopped. And this is written by Sissy Houston, who is the mother of the late superstar. Also, I also want to talk about the fact that, you know, again, when we talk about this program now, your focus is all about entrepreneurs. And there is some entrepreneurial things we need to talk about. First of all, Whitney was a businesswoman. I mean, she had her own company. She managed herself. She had a staff. She had people that she was working with. And understanding that, basically, she was also supporting her, her family as well. So we have to understand that when someone of that stature is working, they are also employing other people. And so it's really important to understand it also in terms of this particular book, although it was written by Sissy Houston. It was with the assistance of Lisa Dickey, okay? And Lisa Dickey, for those who don't know, and probably most people wouldn't know, is that she is what they call a ghostwriter, which means that she is also called a book doctor, and she helps people write their books. So I don't know how the process was in this case, but I know for myself, when I've ghostwritten books, I've sat down with the person, and basically they would tell me their story in a tape recorder, and I would transcribe the tapes, and I put the story into some kind of order. So I suspect this is what Lisa did with this particular book. It says that she has been a ghostwriter for for many, many years. As a matter of fact, since 1997, she has helped many people write their books, and many of the books, six of them, as a matter of fact, have appeared in the New York Times bestseller list. And so I said, to give some background to this particular book, which I think is I know from reading it, it is it's a great book. It's a great book in the sense that it helps us to remember Whitney Houston, who we will never forget, but it gives us some insight into her life and also the time that she went through. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to start with a quote really from Whitney Houston. And this is in the book here. And I really want to start with this because I think it helps us understand that as an entrepreneur, as a superstar, you really have to make a lot of decisions. And also we look at the life of Whitney Houston, and we see there were a lot of things that were troubling her, a lot of problems that she had to go through. But again, I mean, in the final analysis, it's really up to you. I'd like to start with this quote, and this is a quote from Whitney Houston. It's in the book here on page 218, but it's also from an interview that she did with Diane Sawyer. This interview is sort of infamous because this is where Whitney says that crack is whack. And most people remember the interview because of that particular line, but there were other things as well. And one of the things that I want to key on what she said was that she said, and I quote, Diane Sawyer asked Whitney what was her biggest devil, what was her biggest obstacle, what was her biggest stumbling block. And Whitney said, and I quote, "That would be me. Nobody makes me do anything I don't want to do. It's my decision. So the biggest devil is me. I'm either my best friend or my worst enemy." And I want to just repeat that. Whitney Houston says, "Our biggest devil, that would be me. Nobody makes me do anything I don't want to do. It's my decision, so the biggest devil is me. I'm either my best friend or my worst enemy." And so this is from Whitney Houston. Again, just really to look at her life through the eyes of her mother, who was definitely loving and definitely someone who really, really, really had the best for her daughter. And a lot of times when I get these books, especially when I'm reading about a biography or memoir, I sometimes read from the end of the book to the beginning. And why I do this is because I want to really get the latest of what this person has to say and then go to the backstory, because no matter who you are, as you stand before us right now, there's always a backstory, there's always a history. And I like to quote here from the last part of the book here, and this is page 276, and it says here, and this is Sissy Houston talking about Whitney. She says here, "I miss her so very much. I still struggle every day. Truth that I'll never see her again in this life. But I do believe I'll see her again one day, and that is what keeps me going. Believing that God has made it as a plan and that we will be together is the only thing that keeps me from falling apart. Sometimes I'll wake up in the middle of the night crying, just sobbing for my daughter. It takes me a minute to realize where I am and what has happened. But then I just get up out of bed, wipe my eyes, wash my face, and lie back down to go to sleep. Because that is all I can do. I'm so grateful to God for giving me the gift of 48 years with my daughter. I accept that He knew when it was time to take her. Let the church say amen." And that is from Sissy Houston, talking about her daughter and the fact that she believes that they will meet. Because, it's something in the Bible that says that train up a child in the way that we live, and they will follow that in their life. And it's interesting because all of Sissy Houston's children were brought up in the church, and for some reason all of them turned to drugs, and that's Michael, Gary, and also Whitney. And Sissy says here that all my children grew up in the church, and no matter how much they may have strayed, that connection remained with them. Michael likes to say that I introduced them to God, but Nippy, and this is referring to Whitney, really taught him about God. As a child, he used to be scared in church because there was a lot of shouting and crying as they attended in black churches. Being scared in church made him scared of God, but Nippy calmed him down by talking to him about the Lord and different characters in the Bible. He told Michael he reminded her of David because he was a fighter, and that gave Michael strength. And again, you know, Whitney is very proud that Sissy is very proud that Whitney didn't know God, and even in her darkest days, she really had a Bible with her. And it says here, and this is from page 245, says that Nippy, referring to a song that she recorded later in her career, says here, that song is I Didn't Know My Own Strength, and a line in that song says, survive my darkest hour, my faith kept me alive. I picked myself back up, hold my head up high. I was not built to break. And Sissy goes on and says that Nippy said later she couldn't believe it when she heard the lyrics, that it was as if Diane Warren, the writer, had listened to her soul and read her story. It's the perfect song to where she was in her life and for what she had been through. And you know, that line about my faith kept me alive really resonated for Nippy, because no matter what had happened with her over the years, all the drugs and trouble and everything else, she always kept a strong and enduring faith. Though she wasn't one to go to church too often, she believed that church was wherever you were, if you just took the time to pray. And she always did pray, even when she was at her lowest point. And she said later that there were bad times when she locked herself in a room and didn't come out for a while. But whatever else she was doing in there, she always took her Bible with her. And it's so interesting because, again, this was really some of the story of Marvin Gaye, another person who had a very amazing gift of singing and songing, but he was also involved in drugs, but he was also raised in the church. His father was a minister. And basically, you know, what you think we know in terms of the book, that she began her singing in church. And her mother was the choir director of the New Hope Baptist Church, where actually Whitney was laid to rest. But her mother was her coach. Her mother was the one who really helped her define her particular gift. And so, you know, again, it really goes to show that, you know, our life is lived, but it's not lived in a vacuum. I mean, we all appreciated Whitney. We all have love for her. And it was tragic. I mean, I think most people can remember how they heard about it. I got a call from a family friend, and they told us that Whitney had passed. I didn't believe it, you know, because it just seemed so amazing, especially due to the fact that she was making a comeback. But again, you know, it's a situation where, you know what, we just never know. And Sydney and Sissy says here in the last part of the book, and I quote, the day Nippy was born, as I was holding her in my arms in my hospital bed, something told me she would be with me long. It was like a voice in my head, but I didn't pay any attention to it. I figured I must just be overtired, and maybe my pain and medication was playing tricks on me. I never said anything to Nippy, of course. In fact, I never even thought about it until the terrible February day when it turned out to be true. And there is also a very chilling story in the book where Sissy is at home, and this is the night before she found out that Whitney was had passed. There was a ringing, someone rang the doorbell, and she went to answer the doorbell, and she found there was no one there. And then she, you know, went to her house and just, you know, was, you know, in the house, and then the doorbell rang again. And she went again to the doorbell, and there was no one there. And in the book, she reflects on that particular incident, and she feels this was Whitney reaching out to her, because the next day she got the call that Whitney had passed. Mm-hmm. And so, again, you know, it's a book that everybody will be reading and be talking about. And you can say that you heard it first here on the program called All About Entrepreneurs, because, again, I hope that the book sells very, very well. I hope that many people read the book. I hope that many people appreciate the gift that Sister Houston has given us, because again, there would never be another Whitney Houston. And I just hope and pray that the best to those who are gifted in this particular way, and realizing that the gift that you're given is a gift that you have to hold precious. And in the final analysis, it's not just you, the artist, it's really about the people that you touch. And so, again, I think that in these particular times, there's so much coming at us in a negative way that we have to be strong. And I think, again, and I know for myself, and I know you, Lisa, as well, that we try to get the strength that not is just natural, but the strength that is supernatural. And so that means that we have to pray, that we have to reach out to someone a lot bigger than we are. And so, again, the book is really interesting, because it's not just about Whitney, but it's also about Sissy, Sissy's life, and how she made her way in the recording industry as a backup singer, singing in church, singing as a solo artist, and you know, still having a very vital career. And so the book is entitled Remembering Whitney, My Story of Love, Loss, and the Night the Music Stopped, Sissy Houston with Lisa Dickey. And it's interesting because there's a foreword by Dionne Warwick, who is also a member of the family. Dionne says in her foreword, which I think is interesting, and I think it speaks for many of us, when she says, and this is from Dionne Warwick, she says here, it's a privilege to have a peek inside someone's life, and that's what Sissy's offering in this book. Truth has always been paramount for Sissy. I believe she has given the truth within these pages. The fact that she found the strength to write it now, given the grief she had suffered, is a testament to her faith. She's being led to share her true feelings about herself and her beloved daughter. Hope all of us can take a lesson or two from it, and that with this book, everyone can read about it, understand who Whitney Houston truly was. And this was from Dionne Warwick, November 2012, and be found in the book, Remember Whitney, My Story of Love, Loss, and the Night the Music Died, written by Sissy Houston with Lisa Dickey. And so I hope that the people who have heard this broadcast will go out and buy the book and talk about it and share some of the lessons learned from the book on their Facebook page. And I guess really this is a book of historical significance, but it also is a book of faith, because, you know, no matter what happens, life does go on. And hopefully that will be the biggest lesson that people get from this particular book. But at least, again, it's really a worthwhile book. And again, I put it on my list of books that we should read for the year 2013. I mean, I put together 60 books that we should read. And this is about the third book on that list, which I will review from time to time and keep people on track. Because again, I do think that reading is important, just like learning. Learning is important. So again, you know, I'm a big advocate of healthy aging, and again, lifelong learning, and books are key to that. So thank you for this time.
Awesome. That's great. That's great. Sounds like a great book. And I just wanted to let those listening, if you had a comment or wanted to share something that you remember about Whitney Houston, or if you had a question for Professor Terry Benjamin, you can just hit your number one key and I will pick up your phone line. You can do that at this point or any point throughout the rest of the show. And we will continue discussing Remembering Whitney, the book. Obviously, people always say, or you hear people say a lot, everyone has a book in them.
Yes, yes.
Many people say that as it relates to encouraging people to write, those who want to write a book. But here's the thing, you are the book. Your life is your book. You see, your life, no matter what, is unique.
Yes, yes.
You are one individual, and there is absolutely no one else just like you. Now, not that you'll go out and write a book about your life. You don't have to write it. It's already written.
Mm-hmm.
And we, all of us that are in your life, we're reading your book.
You're living the book, like you said.
Yes, you're a living epistle.
That's
what the scriptures tell us. You are a living epistle. And so those of us around you and those who are around me and everyone, they're reading our book. Now, those who are far away may not be able to see as much, and so we may put it down on pen and paper, such as Whitney's mom has done with her, you know, experience of her daughter's life. You see, and of course she knows her own life more intimately than that, but very, very interesting situation. I wish I could have a question where I would love to see who people would give that book to. Like, say, for instance,
that's a great thought there. Yeah, because I mean, you know, it's interesting. I don't know. I guess some people who learn by doing. A lot of people learn by example, and I like this myself. I don't want to preach to people. I want to be an example, and I think this book really shows. You know, you can have a great talent, but you really have to. You really have to be about taking care of yourself. I think, you know, one of the things we have to understand that no matter you can be surrounded by loving family and friends, but, you know, you really have to take care of yourself, because Whitney was loved very, very much, you know, by her mother, by her father, by her brothers, by her husband, by her child. But I just think that, you know, Whitney didn't love herself enough, because as I read the book, it was just so much abuse and so much self-denial. I mean, there were a lot of interventions where the family would come together and beg Whitney to go into rehab. And she went into rehab for a little while, but she would come out and do the same thing. So I think, again, I mean, you know, we can help people. We can do all the things that we can for them. But you know what? In the final analysis, they have to, you know, like what you said, you know, her biggest devil was herself. She was her own worst enemy. And so, really, you know, we have to learn how to deal with our devils in a way that would make sure we could
overcome
it. That's it.
Overcome. We have to defeat our enemy, and that is our biggest job. And you see, yes, we can have friends and talents and skills and abilities and what have you, but we all have that inner enemy that wants to destroy ourselves, and we have to overcome. And we have the enemy outside as well.
Yep.
But whether it's inside or outside, it's still the enemy, and we have to be able to destroy the enemy. And I think too, Professor Terry, Brother Terry,
yes.
Sometimes I think people forget that we are really in a war.
Oh, yes.
And there is a battle going on. Whether you could be, well, I'm nonviolence. Well, that's fine, but you're still in a war. Well, I don't have no weapons. Well, guess what? Your enemy does.
Yeah.
And
it's so sad, because a lot of times we're attacked through the media. I mean, sometimes I watch some of these shows, and I don't know, maybe because I'm getting older, there's some shows I start watching, and I turn it off. Because what I realize I'm doing, I'm inviting people into my house, into my brain, into my environment that I wouldn't deal with. I mean, I don't want to deal with killers and drug addicts and people who are disrespectful and whatnot. But a lot of times you watch these shows, and that's the kind of people that you invite into your house, into your mind. So we got to be very, very careful, especially at this time, what we allow into our minds, you know. And sometimes some of the most popular stuff, and we might have to do a program on this, you know, some of the most popular, quote, TV shows are things that we really, I mean, especially Christians, we don't need to be watching, because, you know, it really takes us into a whole another realm that really leaves open for the attacks by the enemy.
Exactly. So imagine if the enemy can attack the little innocent person that ain't watched nothing.
Yeah.
Imagine by us opening up our eye gates, our ear gates, see, to these things. And so, yeah, I totally agree with you. You have to be careful with some of that stuff you're watching. I mean, you know, but I would definitely love to see who people would give a copy of that book to, especially when you see so many very young, talented people.
Oh, yes, yes.
And especially when you watch this one TV show they have on Centric, or one of those shows, TV One. Show where they bring up the lives of these various individuals, like your Marvin Gaye's or what, I forget the name of the show.
Yeah.
Unsung Heroes or something like that.
Yes, exactly.
But they tell, you know, it was these various stars and entertainers and celebrities that was mostly in the music industry, most of them. But boy, oh boy, the tragedy behind all the glitter. Realize that, wow, was it even worth it, you know? Many of them had very tragic ends.
And it's so sad because it seems like, you know, because this show that you're talking about, on Unsung, is a very interesting program because basically you see these people, you know, as they ride up to the top of their profession, then they come crashing down, and for most of them, it was had something to do with drugs. And so we realize that, even in the book, you know, Sissy states that, you know, no one who starts taking drugs really takes drugs to wind up as an addict. Most people start what they call recreational drugs. I mean, they're at a party, they're drinking, they're smoking, they're getting a little high and whatnot. And this is all part of the fun, but there's a point, especially in terms of addiction, when the fun stops. And that's when, you know, you start craving that drug. And one of the things in the book that Sissy had to admit that Whitney was losing her voice. And what had happened was that because of the drug abuse, I mean, her career was in jeopardy. And many times in the book, Whitney was so tired about, you know what, just taking her daughter Christina and just, you know, getting away from the business. But you know what, it's so sad with the drugs. It's the point where, because you've abused your body so much and you've abused your voice, you have to keep on singing when your voice is shot, because that's what you have to deal with. And it's just so sad, and I'm reading the book, you know, with a heavy heart, because you know what? Whitney didn't have to die if she could have really beaten that demon. If she could have gotten over that, she would have been okay. But you know what? Sometimes it's just hard to turn that corner, you know, and I've never been in that position, but I could imagine, you know.
Well, you know, when she first passed away, I had not been like maybe the biggest. I'm not from New Jersey, so I don't know the history of with growing up here and all those things. So, and she, by the time her music really came out, I was already in my late 20s, probably, and I was to like all the music kind of stuff, but I do remember a group of young ladies that I was working with last year, and they wanted to have their graduation song, I Didn't Know My Own Strength. Now I had
great song.
I heard that song. I hadn't heard a lot of Whitney songs lately, but I had to record the song for them, so I went to YouTube and I played the song to record it.
Mm-hmm.
The song blew my mind. It blew my mind. Sat there for over an hour, crying like a 2-year-old baby.
Oh my goodness! What?
I was uncontrollable.
Mm-hmm.
Just is that powerful. And she had just passed away, maybe months before that.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Oh my God!" The woman. It was almost as if the song was like she was preaching her own funeral.
Oh, that's what's so chilling, because the lyric here, it says here, survive my darkest hour, my faith kept me alive.
Yes.
I picked myself back up, hold my head up high.
Yes.
I was not built to break. I didn't know my own strength.
It's a powerful song. I played it, and then on to play the song. I was addicted to the song. I played it every day for a good month.
Oh, wow.
I couldn't make it through the day without hearing that song. And I was never a big Whitney fan, per se.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That song blew me away, and it was like, you know, you could tell a lot about her from listening to the words of that song. She really was a very strong woman. As she herself said, I did these things because I wanted to. No one made me. That takes a lot of strength right there.
That's right, and a lot of courage, you know, but it's interesting because you talk about that song, but another song that was associated with Whitney was a song called The Greatest Love of All. And in that particular song, the lyric says, learning to love yourself is the greatest love of all. And again, we need to love ourselves more and realize that, you know, our life is not just our life. Our life is really, like I said, we live for God. We live for a higher power than ourselves, you know?
And another song I found on YouTube that says a lot about her life is the one where she's on there with little Christina. Bobby Christina is about 4 or 5-ish, and it's this, I want you with me or something like that. I can't remember all the lyrics, but something about if I'm living on the street, it's okay as long as you're with me.
Yes.
It's a remake of something, if I'm not mistaken, but she sings it as if she owns it. And it's her, and then she has Bobby Christina at the end of the song. She gives her the mic.
Wow.
And the little girl says, you know, it's all right, y'all. It's all right. Something like that. You got to heartbreaking to see her and this little girl. And they're in another country. They're not in the USA, I don't believe, singing this.
Yes, yes.
The stadium is super packed. You can tell, you know, she's zooted. But she's singing her heart out. And she's only 5 at that point. And it is touching to watch the two of them sing together. And she only gives her that one little tiny spot.
Yeah.
Like her saying, okay, mommy's doing this, but this is not something I want you to do, but I know you're part of me, so here's the mic. And I tell you, it's the cutest thing, but the song is powerful because she talks about being a bum on the street and different things. And it was the way she lived with her daughter. It was like, I don't care what I'm going through as long as me and my daughter are together.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, sometimes it's just as simple as the love that we have within our families. But you know what? We got to understand that we need a higher love to save us from all we got to go through in this life, you know?
Well,
Houston is 79 years old, and she puts this book out. You know?
Wow. Well, there you go. Well, you know what? You're right, and we're out of time, but
oh wow,
it's been a great discussion. Excellent book, and thank you for tuning in. Thank you to those who listened, and you didn't have a question or comment this time, but maybe next time you will. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, 7 a.m. I'm not sure who our guest is at this point, but it'll be some entrepreneur coming on to share their story, so like you said, we're all entrepreneurs. Almost like the book, everybody's an entrepreneur, really.
Yes, they are.
Yes, you own something. If nothing else, you own your own mind. And like for Whitney, she owned her talent. So be careful what you do with what you are in charge of.
Yes, that's the lesson.
Yeah, you are an entrepreneur, and you own your life, and it's up to you and how it would go, just like in a company where we have to make strategic plans about the business.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you have to make strategic plans about your life, Terry.
That's right.
So, everyone, have a wonderful, wonderful day, and we'll see you back here tomorrow, same time. Thank you for tuning in to another show. Thank you, Terry, for this powerful, powerful book, and we can't wait to see what book you have next time, but I like that one. That was a good one.
Thank you so much.
I like thank all you. Of them.
Because you have read all 60 books now.
Because we know.
It's just the beginning.
Because we know, Whitney, that was a really, really good one. So thank you. Have a great day, everyone.
Okay, bye-bye. Thank you.
That's right. There's no stopping you now. Well, thank you for tuning in to another segment of All About Entrepreneurs. Don't forget, stop by our website, www.blogtalkradio.com/allaboutentrepreneurs, and visit us on the web at www.release-your-power.com. Like our friend page on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at twitterandfacebook.com/CoachLalisa. If you would like to get in touch with one of the entrepreneurs or one of the guests that you've heard on the show, please send us a request on Facebook or on Twitter or right here on Blog Talk Radio. Well, if you're not an entrepreneur yet, I don't know what you're waiting for. Go out and make it happen. Again, we'll see you tomorrow, same time, same place, for another exciting episode of All About Entrepreneurs. Stay tuned for our conferences, our seminars, and our webinars, where you can get further trained as you develop just what you are and just what you want to do. Again, this has been Coach Lalisa J. Williams.